this idea of I've worked really, really, really hard, and then now I've arrived at this faculty position, and I'm going to be supported, and I'm going to be protected. I'm just here to do a good job. It keeps you from staying fresh about your value, your opportunities, and your choices. And that's what I'm going to focus on today, your value, your opportunities, and your choices.
Hello, hello. You are listening to Your Unapologetic Career. Being a woman of color faculty in academic medicine who wants to make a real difference with your career can be tough. Listen, these systems are not built for us, but that doesn't mean we can't make them work for us. In each episode, I'll be taking a deep dive into one core growth strategy so you can gain confidence and effectiveness in pursuing the dream career you worked so hard to achieve. All you have to do is tune in to Your Unapologetic Career with me, your host, Kemi Dole, physician, surgeon, researcher, coach, and career strategist, for an always authentic, sometimes a little raw, but unapologetically empowering word. I keep it real for you because I want you to win. So the truth is, I get messages all the time from people who are like, whoa, 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 this is too good. I definitely want to do more. How can I work with you? Like, where is the front door? And so if that's you and you're a woman of color faculty in academic medicine or public health, just keep listening. The question is, are you building the academic career you want or hard at work checking boxes on everyone else's to-do list? A successful career doing the work that you love doesn't mean you have to sacrifice your values, your family, or your joy. Stop trying to be everything to everybody and get to learning the strategies that will 3X your productivity, hone your passions into grant-funded projects, and create the career you worked so hard to achieve. If you have been to every career development or professional development workshop that sounded great, but didn't actually deal with the kind of institutional pressures you face. If you are working hard, but somehow stuck in inefficiency, putting everyone else's priorities first. If you spent years training and sacrificing to become academic faculty, and here you are, still working when you don't want to be on the projects you care most about, I'm here to tell you that you can walk away from this institutional mindset forever and take control of your career with clarity and strategy. Every day, I help women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health, like you, reframe and recreate their academic life so that they can channel their ideas, passions, and skills into grant-funded work with institutional support. And that is why this episode is brought to you by Get That Grant, our six-month comprehensive high-performance coaching program for high-achieving women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health who are ready to reclaim career control and secure grant funding doing the work they love. In Get That Grant, we help you kick imposter syndrome to the curb for good so you lead your career with clarity and confidence. We help you learn productivity and strategy skills for grants and papers to maximize your chances of success without wasting your time, abandoning your passion, or working yourself into the ground. We help you build the foundation for an amazing and fulfilling academic career, changing your life and the lives of everyone your work will touch. Yes, this future is possible for you, and it's waiting on you to take the first step. If you are ready for career success without sacrifice, without suffering, then I encourage you to join our waitlist at kemidole.com/grant. After you join the waitlist, you will be notified when the next Get That Grant cohort will be enrolling. Your application process will include an in-depth career foundations assessment, helping you identify the gaps in your foundation that are holding you back from enjoying the career you worked so hard to achieve. No more secret worrying that the career you really want isn't really possible. This career assessment will show you exactly where you need to focus to level up your experience and your impact. Join the waitlist today to get in line. Visit kemidole.com/grant to sign up. See you soon.
Hello, hello, folks. Welcome back to the show. I hope
you are doing well wherever you may be. I want to talk on today's episode about this idea of an exit strategy. And if you are a woman of color faculty member in academic medicine or public health, whether you need an exit strategy. I'm coming immediately off the submission of an R01. And as you all know, there's, you know, multi-month endeavors, lots of effort and thinking and grant journeying and all that through that. I have to say, I am so pleased with it. And you know how you get the feeling where you're like, all right, I hope this gets funded. I'm really excited about it. But if they don't fund it, somebody will, because this bad boy is so good. So I had that feeling, which was great. Also, it's pretty all consuming, at least for me. Like when I'm working on a grant as a new idea that, you know, is really trying to do something specific, like that takes up, you know, I don't know, 80% of my creative capacity during that time, because I am trying to be innovative. I'm trying to think outside the box. I'm trying all those things. So it also just means that there's a natural decline in creative thinking, innovation in other areas, which first of all, I'm okay with. And can we acknowledge and like accept that we are not limitless batteries of productivity, of creativity, of anything? So I think sometimes I see people kind of expect the same of themselves across all of their work endeavors or all the things they do, regardless of any individual major project that's happening within one sphere. And like the more we can understand that we are going to wax and wane with our capacity and our output and the quality of our output, depending on what else is going on, just the less we can set ourselves up for failure. You know, like the more we can be kind to ourselves because we are realistic about the fact that we are not limitless resources. That was a total aside, honestly. But my point being is that during this time, it just meant that I knew I had less capacity and less creativity around lots of things. What I'm talking about on the podcast with you, that's why so many episodes were recorded ahead of time, because I knew like I wouldn't have it during especially this last 4 to 5 weeks. You know, I'm starting up our newsletters next month, like in February. Well, this is probably February by the time you hear this, but I'm starting those up later because I knew like I'm not going to have creative capacity to write a newsletter in January when like I'm in the last sprint of this thing going in. So anyway, all that to say is that yes, for all of the people who have written me, DM'd me, texted me, posted in our community, outside our community, essentially the, like, if I boil it down, the question is, do you have thoughts about Claudine Gay? Yes. Like, the answer is, of course. Like, of course I have thoughts about what happened to the former Harvard president and racism and the erosion, increasing erosion of centers of power in academia. Yes, of course I have thoughts. Also, I was very clear during the time that I was working on this grant is going in, is like, I might have thoughts, but I don't have creative capacity around this. So I'll be circling back to this when my creative capacity opens back up in my own brain so as not to stress myself out for no particular reason whatsoever. So anyway, the reason why I kind of laughed a little bit, like, of course, yes, I have thoughts, like, of course, is just because, first of all, if it wasn't clear, this podcast are my thoughts. Like, it's not directly, because I save that for my group chat. But if you want to know what I think from my, in terms of my role as somebody who is trying to help people have a successful, nourishing, long-term, rewarding careers in academic medicine and public health, these are my thoughts about that. And so what I want to talk about with all of you is an exit strategy. And I think I'm probably going to title this, Do You Need an Exit Strategy? Spoiler alert, my answer is yes. But I also just want to say that everything I talk about here, I hope it doesn't sound shocking. It shouldn't be like new and totally like out there. But maybe what you might notice is how much the perspective that I try to bring to you all and the way that I actually think about coaching in the career of academics is like 100% underlined by the idea of ensuring that you have a strong individual agency and essentially an always present exit strategy. So I'm going to be referring to other podcast episodes during this recording because, like, you know, with all due respect, I've done talked about this
But like, I'm going to refer to a few episodes right here at the top that are more directly like, go listen to this if you want to hear about what I think about staying or going in academic medicine and public health. And then I'll get into what I want to talk about today. So episode 21, is it time to leave your institution? Go listen to that again. You will hear lots about an exit strategy. Episode 26, leaving when you're post-tenure promotion. That was a great listener letter about like, how do I think about this differently now that I basically checked all the boxes I'm supposed to be checking. Episode 30, learning how to quit. So many of us can't fathom the idea of having agency around an exit strategy because we don't know how to quit anything. Episode 52, finding your faculty identity. What are you even doing here? Episode 63, your faculty title versus what you actually do. Episode 117, decoupling success from suffering. So I just wanted to put those at the top. I will ask our amazing podcast manager to drop the links in the show notes, so it's really easy for you to find those. Very relevant to what I'll talk about today. So I guess it's not really a big surprise. I mean, I hope it's not a surprise to those listening that like Black women in academia have been talking a lot about what happened to President Claudine Gay. I hope that's not a surprise that people are talking about this right now, but hopefully it's also not a surprise that like Black women in academia been talking about exit strategies. Like, I remember early conversations with friends and colleagues about like what the plan is when and if this whole situation doesn't work out. I think, and again, I can only speak from my own experience, but there's just like a realism that comes in moving in spaces that were not designed for you, were not created for you, are often explicitly unwelcome or implicitly unwelcome, where you are used to not operating under the assumption that you get to be there, you get to stay, you get like, you're used to operating under the assumption that at any given time, all this could go away. And so I think there's like, I would just offer for me, I'm not speaking for all Black folks, I'm certainly not speaking for all Black women in academic medicine and public health, but I can just say there's just like, I've always had that sense. I always feel that, not specifically even because of academia, but just being a Black woman walking around in like a highly racist, sexist society, there is just not this assumption of protection, belonging, support, all those things. I'm not saying that that is right. I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with that. There are deep-seated, horrific things wrong with that. It is also, however, the reality and my reality. And so I desire to live a life of joy, of purpose, of satisfaction. So I can never be in a position where that fact destroys my dreaming, my future potential, what I want to do, where I want to do it. Like that fact I have to contend with day in and day out, but that's not going to keep me from living the full potential of this life. So I just want to talk a little bit about that orientation. The second thing is I want to shout out Dr. Whitney Robinson, who I would say is like one of the first people who showed me early on, up close and personal, what it looks like to have an active ideation around exit strategy, even if nothing is wrong, right? So her story is hers. Y'all can go talk to her about that. But it did catalyze me to think beyond the idea that like after XYZ years of training and I start on faculty, I have, quote, arrived, right, to this endpoint, and that all that was left was to do a good job. That is very much the dominant academic narrative. You work many, many years, you work really hard, you get your PhD, you work really, really hard, you get that MD, you do residency training, you do all the things, and then you have arrived. You have arrived, you have a guaranteed position, you're here, you're in the family, and you just need to do a good job. All you need to worry about is doing a good job. You do a good job, you're good. Okay, so I think that you have arrived, I think it's a terrible sentiment. I'll tell you three reasons why. Number one, it's a lie. The first thing you notice on faculty is that you can continue to fill your days, weeks, months, and years struggling to live up to the expectations of others, just like you were doing in training. So there is no arrive. There's no magical moment or thing where all those external judgments and all those things go away. Number two, it's a recipe for burnout. If you think that you have, quote, arrived, and then you see these goalposts that keep getting put up, then they keep moving, and then you keep hitting them again, and then it's, okay, now you need to do this, now you need to do that. What you start telling yourself is that very toxic, well, once this is done, then I'll finally relax, then I'll finally arrive. Once I get promoted, then everything will get better. Once I get this type of grant, then I will arrive, et cetera, et cetera. Once I get the K, then I need the R. Once I get the R, then I need the P. The NIH grant girlies know what I'm talking about. That just cues the 20 years, 30 years of the rat race, the exhaustion, the resentment, and the burnout. If you want to hear more about that, cue up episode 1, 10 Lies of Academic Medicine. It's a recipe for burnout. That's number 2, why it's a terrible sentiment. Number 3, it's a trap. That's where I'm going to land today and talk a little bit more about. It's a trap. This is the most important for the rest of our discussion, because this idea of I've worked really, really, really hard, and then now I've arrived at this faculty position, and I'm going to be supported, and I'm going to be protected. I'm just here to do a good job. It keeps you from staying fresh about your value, your opportunities, and your choices. And that's what I'm going to focus on today, your value, your opportunities, and your choices. My answer to the question of do you need an exit strategy is yes. But not because you need to leave right now, not because you have to go. It's because if you go through the mental and emotional process of exploring what your exit strategy could be, you will by default have to define your value. You will by default be opened up to your opportunities, and you will, unless you're doing some really impressive mental gymnastics, you will have to stop lying to yourself about not having any choices. This is all good. All of that creates the agency that we all should be moving with in our careers. I just want to side note here that I had like a metaphor slash rant about the Democratic Party that ultimately I cut. But I just want to suffice to say, like, if you are a captive constituency, you can look up what that means, then those in power never actually have to make good on any promise or idea they profess to have for you. If you've decided there's no other place for you, there's no other place for you to be, there's another place I can serve your interests, then it's a pretty powerless place to be. Anyway, I'll just leave that there and keep going. Okay, so your value, your opportunity, your choices. Y'all, your value. I say this all of the time. Y'all know I say this all the time. Can you define the unique value you have, the unique value you bring to your career, to the work that you do, independent of any institutional ties or resources? What do people get when they get you? The phrasing of that question is deliberate. It's the first thing we focus on in Get That Grant, our flagship career coaching program for women of color faculty in academic medicine and public health. If you're interested, get on the wait list. Enrollment's going to open up again in about a month or so. Anyway, this is not by accident. It's not by accident that we focus on that from the very beginning. It's deeply on purpose. There's an obvious goal, which is that when you can answer that question clearly and well in a way that's communicating your value and everything else to other people, it helps to write your purpose mantra and it helps to seriously improve the quality of your decision-making in your career, which is basically required for the rest of our program anyway. Like if you're not making high-quality decisions, we're not getting anywhere. Okay, but also once folks have a clear idea on their value, independent of their institutional resources or ties, they are much less likely to get hooked by the idea, one of the 10 lies of academic medicine, that they don't have anything without their institution, or they have nothing without their institution, or their value is determined by their institution. And therefore, they're much less likely to be mentally trapped into the idea that there are no choices. Identifying your value, number one. Number two, your opportunity. So again, I want to emphasize that if you mistakenly fall into the idea that in your faculty position, you've arrived, right? Then you naturally will not think to consider other opportunities. That just makes sense. Especially, you know, we have to have, gosh, we're good at the long game. You know, you work for something for years. It's like, by the time I got this thing that I've been working on for a year, don't talk to me about anything else. But this is also compounded by how many newbies get hoodwinked by this whole quote unquote, we had to do all this work to create a position for you. And, you know, be grateful that we did all this for you, sign this default offer letter on the dotted line and be happy, right? It's a deep hole of obligatory gratitude that you have to climb out of before you even think about how much else there might be out there for you. And so it's also related to your value. Check out episode 68, The Suspects That Cloud Our Judgment. One of them, obligatory gratitude. So if you believe the lie that you are only successful because your institution, then you will only see risk when considering leaving, not opportunity. So when I keep saying opportunity, what am I talking about? other institutions, other jobs within your own institution, academic adjacent work like nonprofits, think tanks, entrepreneurial endeavors like consulting businesses, coaching businesses, corporate work, pharmaceutical companies, advocacy, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, y'all, can we just take a moment? It is ridiculous. I said it. It is ridiculous to pretend that after all those years of schooling and training, the only thing you could do is be a faculty member where you are at doing what you do. That is completely illogical. And consider how hyperbolic it is to think that you would hate anything else. Like, academic medicine and public health could absolutely be your most happy place, for sure. Like, your most aligned place. Like me, it is. I love it here. I know, it just is what it is. But let's not use the binary thinking that everything else would be terrible, especially if you're not happy with where you are. You're not happy with your faculty position. When you make considering your opportunities just something that you periodically do to enhance your own experience, it's like you clean out the closets. That's literally what it's like. You refresh the office. That's what it's a periodic thing that you do. You are much less likely to get mentally trapped in this idea that there really isn't anything else. I don't have any agency here other than to hope that nobody comes after me. Your choices. Okay, third thing. Choices. I have said this before and I'll say it again. If you like academia, if you just do, you love the teaching, you love the research, you love the community, you just like all the little bits and pieces, or you like a few of them enough and you like how they're arranged in this career, you get to be here. There is no space free of racism, sexism, etc. in the United States of America. There isn't. There is no institution that will love you back. Shout out to Tressie McMillan Cotton. The institutions don't love you back. Be where you want to be and find joy where you want to find it. You deserve that as a human being, period. And it's a choice to be here. It's a choice to stay because you recognize that your talents and what you bring are so valuable. You could choose to bring them anywhere. It's a choice to bring them here. This is where I choose to use my talents for the purpose that I have in my life right now. If that is accurate for you, if that's resonant for you, then choose to be here. And when you recognize that that is your choice, you are less likely to be or feel trapped. You're less likely to be controlled by obligatory gratitude. You're more likely to be honest and direct about what you want for yourself and others. I'm sorry, what you want to yourself, more honest about to yourself about what you want and to others. You are more likely to close deficits that you might have in your skill set so you can do the work you want to do. Shout out to episode 77, the academic bait and switch. The whole underlying tone of that episode 77 is don't get yourself into a situation where you've got goals there's a career that you're trying to reach. You've got goals you're trying to reach, but you don't have the skills to do so. Of course, if you're in that situation, then it feels like there's nothing else I could do but be here and hopefully I don't get attacked. No, go close those skill gaps so you have what you need to do what you want to do anywhere you want to do it. So should you have an exit strategy? Yes, of course. Go through the process of considering your value, your opportunities, your choices. Do this at least every other year. Now, does this mean you need to go out and interview and go on the job trail? No, that is not what I'm saying. Now, if you want to, go for it. But like, that is not what I'm saying. This could be like several Googling and journaling sessions and it's a wrap. But how powerful it is to know. I mean, I could work here, but I could work there. But I could also do that. But I could also figure that out. But I could go on a different journey. That is what's powerful. The key here is not allowing the culture of academics, which very much actively creates the idea that there is nothing more. There's nothing more prestigious. There's nothing better. There's nothing more impactful. The key is not letting that culture actually guide the decisions on your life, the life you live, your actual being, not what other people think, what you want to do with your life. I'm still in academic medicine because I'm very clear that I want to be here. I'm clear what I'm getting from and what I'm giving to this space. I'm also very clear, and I hope all of you are, that I don't have to stay. You don't have to stay. If you choose to stay, I encourage you deeply to stay with agency. Stay with the knowledge of your value. Stay with the clarity of the opportunities that you have. Stay with an assessment and an awareness of your ongoing choices. This is how I move through this space that, from a structural standpoint, is hostile. I'm clear that I don't have to stay, because your girl at all times has an exit strategy. All right, y'all. Let me know what you thought of this episode. Come and find me on all the socials. I'm at my government name, Kemi Doll, K-E-M-I-D-O-L-L. Let me know what you thought. Like I said, we will make an effort to link all of these episodes in the show notes, but it was just so interesting because when I sat back and thought, like, what do I want to say about this from a broad perspective, not from a specific perspective. It's just, hopefully, maybe on this journey, just listening to me, you understand like how the deep sense of individual independent agency and how you create that in your career underlies everything that I try to share with y'all, everything I try to do, because you all really should be able to talk about, germinate, think about, discuss, consider an exit strategy at any time and not have that be a failure, not have that be something taboo, just have that be something that helps you remember how amazing you are and that you always have choices. And you always have agency. So that's all I'm going to say for today. Interesting to see how this discussion goes on all the platforms. Shoot me a letter. Shoot me an email if you want to talk to me that way. You can email me at podcast@kdollcoach, kdollcoach.com. And also put any follow-up questions there and we can keep the conversation going. All right. Take care, y'all. I love you and I mean it. Hello, I'm coming through to remind you that we are starting a listener letter segment on the Your Unapologetic Career podcast. Write in with questions that you have. You can ask me anything. I will decide what I want to answer. You can bring forth challenging situations or suggest topics you might want to hear more about. To do that, you can reach me at podcast@kdollcoach.com. That's podcast@kdollcoach.com with your questions. Please note if you'd like to be anonymous, and I will always do my best to keep you so. Excited to hear from y'all.